السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Can we start the class?
نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. The last chapter we read from our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad was the chapter that Al-Imam al-Bukhari titled Babu Shikayat al-Jar, the chapter about the complaint of the jar of your neighbor when a neighbor becomes so haughty, so difficult, so harmful that the individual has to report that neighbor to the community head or the constituted authority by way of seeking relief from the injustice of the haughty neighbor. The neighbor had been haughty, had been disturbing. It is not necessarily from good neighborhood to reject going to report such neighbors to constituted authority. I mean that some of the people may think that it is wrong to report your neighbor to constituted authority, but the narrations we have read here are clear indications that when a neighbor becomes difficult, when a neighbor becomes repeatedly hurting and inconveniencing to the rest of the neighbors, he may be reported to the authorities. May Allah protect us from being evil neighbors. These are from the issues regarding people who are bad in terms of discharging the rights of neighborhood. That was under Babu Shikayat al-Jar, the chapter about the complaints of the jar. We will note a hadith in that chapter where the companions radiallahu anhum were cursing the one who made the neighbor to bring out his belongings to the street. And we remember that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to them that inna la'natallahi fawqa la'natihi, the curse of Allah is over the curse of those who sent curses to that neighbor who was the reason why his neighbor had to pack out to the street. May Allah protect us. Today, inshallah, we'll be coming to the next chapter from the last two chapters regarding the issues concerning the neighbor. And here, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Ismail, has titled the chapter Babu Man Aza Jarahu Hatta Yakhruja. Babu Man Aza Jarahu Hatta Yakhruj. The chapter regarding an individual. Aza Jarahu Hatta Yakhruj. He would cause harm to his neighbor until the neighbor packed out of the area. The neighbor moved out of the house. In the first case, the last chapter, the neighbor came to report the other neighbor, this neighbor is causing me harm continuously and repeatedly. It is difficult for me to bear his harm. The messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, told him what to do. But under this chapter, the chapter heading, Babu Man Aza Jarahu Hatta Yakhruj, the chapter about the one who causes harm to the neighbor. We are talking about the individual the neighbor found him hard to tolerate. Some of the people are so bad, they are so nosy, they make their neighbors part of their problems. They are so nosy, they hurt their neighbors with their nose, their mouth, and the rest of their limbs. How do they hurt their neighbor with their nose? They place their nose in the life of the neighbor. All that the neighbor does, their nose is on it, as if they are spies of their neighbors. Oh, he did this. Oh, he went out. Oh, that's the young girl in his house. Oh, there's another woman. Oh, that's this. Oh, that's that. Oh, that's this. And the neighbor against whom this kind of evil is directed is someone who likes privacy. He wants to just be able to move his way and live his life. So you begin to hurt that neighbor. The neighbor begins to say, excuse me, I don't like this lifestyle. You are coming too much into my privacy. Please, can you move away a bit? Can you stop checking me all around? Can you stop this? Can you? Because some of the times, not every person will be able to come upon your scale. What you think you enjoy, some of the people may not enjoy it. These are issues of body language that we must understand in the community. Don't think that when your neighbor does not sit down with you to start jesting on the street, then he's not a good neighbor. You should start asking him. You should start going after him. You may be bringing inconveniences to him, and he may be tolerating you. Sometimes it is pure hurt that some of the people direct to their neighbors. So this neighbor can report you to authority, can report you to the community. This neighbor is causing me harm. So, but some of the people are so bad and ill-hearted, they will continue that harm against the neighbor. And then the neighbor feels, okay, if I can't stop your harm, I can leave where you are. Don't be that kind of a neighbor who will be so uncomfortable, who will be so hurting to the neighbor that the neighbor will now say, oh, let me leave the home for him. Let me go out of this area so that I can find rest from the harm of this neighbor. This is the chapter, this is the issue we'll be discussing under this chapter. Babun man aza jarahu hatta yakhruja. The chapter about the neighbor who will cause harm to his neighbor so much that the second neighbor now leaves the area. He leaves the house. He goes out of the area so that he can find rest from the evil that the first neighbor is directing to him. This issue has been discussed by Al-Imam al-Bukhari under Hadith 127, and he has reported that hadith from one of his teachers, Isam ibn Khalid. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, haddathana Isam ibn Khalid, Rahimahullah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, haddathana Isam ibn Khalid, qala, haddathana Arta ibn قال سمعت يعني أبا عامر الحمصي قال كان ثوبان يقول ما من رجلين يتصارمان فوق ثلاثة أيام فيهلك أحدهما فمات وهما على ذلك من المصارمة إلا هلك جميعا وما من جار يظلم جاره ويقهره يظلم جاره ويقهره حتى يحمله ذلك على أن يخرج من منزله إلا هلك ما من جار يظلم جاره ويقهره حتى يحمله ذلك على أن يخرج من منزله إلا هلك ما من جار يظلم جاره ويقهره يظلم جاره ويقهره حتى يحمله ذلك على أن يخرج من منزله إلا هلك. قال البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا عصام بن خالد قال حدثنا أرطاء ابن المنذر قال سمعت يعني أبا عامر الحمصي قال كان ثوبان يقول ما من رجلين يتصارمان فوق ثلاثة أيام فيهلك أحدهما فمات وهما على ذلك من المصارمة إلا هلكا جميعا وما من جار يظلم جاره ويقهره حتى يحمله ذلك على أن يخرج من منزله إلا هلكا. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has reported this hadith from his Shaykh Isam ibn Khalid. Isam ibn Khalid is Abu Ishaq al-Himsi. Abu Ishaq al-Himsi, Isam ibn Khalid. He has reported from his Sheikh Arta ibn al-Mundir. Arta ibn al-Mundir al-Himsi. So this hadith has the people from Hims. Hims is in present day Syria. Hims is in present day Syria. Isam ibn Khalid is al-Hims. Arta ibn al-Munzir is al-Himsi. It was in Sham in the old, in the ancient times. And Aba Amir, rahimahullah, who is the tabi'i of this hadith, is also al-Himsi. So from the lataif, from the major benefits of this hadith, is that this hadith is from the hadith of the people of where? Hims. Because the teachers from whom al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported this hadith, we are all from the people of Hims. Isam ibn Khalid is Himsi, Arta ibn al-Munzir. Let me mention this error that is common amongst the students. Arta, people read it sometimes as Arta'ah. It's an error. There is al-Imam Hajjaj ibn Arta'ah. This is Arta'ah. People read it as Arta'ah. It is Arta Hajjaj ibn Arta'ah. So this is Arta ibn al-Munzir. It is not Arta'a. It is Arta. So this is Arta ibn al-Munzir, rahimahullah, is reporting from his Sheikh Abu Amir al-Himsi. So this hadith is the hadith of the people of the Hims. And he is reporting from Thawban. We recall that Thawban, Mawla Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, was also Himsi. Towards the end of his life. Thawban, when the Prophet passed away, alayhi salatu salam, he also went to Hims. So Abu Amir was Himsi. Arta ibn al-Munzir is Himsi. Isam ibn Khalid is also what? Himsi. So this hadith is from the hadith of the people of Hims, rahimahullah. And it is reported by the eminent companion of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Thawban. Yesterday we mentioned a companion, Abu Juhayfa, Wahab ibn Abdullah, al-Suwa'i. These are not popular companions amongst the Prophet's companions. To us, they are not so common. So let us note those companions we read about in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that are not very popular amongst us, so that we note them specifically, that these are from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wasalam, and we must note a major thing about them. As for Wahab ibn Abdullah, Abu Juhayfa, whose hadith we read yesterday, we reminded us that Wahab ibn Abdullah was usually called Wahab al-Khayr. That was his nickname. And he was among the age mate of Abdullah ibn Abbas when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And thirdly, he was the head of security during the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib. That is Abu Juhayfa, Wahab ibn Abdullah al-Suwa'i. That was, we read his hadith yesterday. For Thawban, he was well known amongst the ulama. Even the talabatul ilm, they well know Thawban, radiyallahu anhu. In fact, al-Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, when he refers to Thawban, he will say, Thawbanun Nabi, alayhi salatu wasalam. Thawbanun Nabi, the Thawban of the Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The others would refer to Thawban as Khadimul Nabi, just like Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhuma. The difference was that as for Anas ibn Malik, he was freeborn. His mother was in Medina. It was his mother who brought him to serve the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. But as for Thawban, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bought him freedom from slavery, alayhi salatu wasalam, and asked him, if you want to go back to your people, go back to your people. He said, Messenger of Allah, I will go back to my people and leave you. I will not leave you. So he was in the service of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. The Prophet loved him so much, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So that was why some of the scholars will refer to Thawban as what? Thawbanun Nabi, the Thawban of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and he was a major reporter of knowledge from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Thawban was known not to be rich at all. He was known not to be rich at all. He was known not to be rich at all. I don't want to say poor, but he does not have the things of comfort of this dunya. And even at that, Thawban radiallahu anhu never asked anybody for anything. Thawban never asked anybody for anything. And it was because of a discussion between himself and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Man takaffala li alla yas'ala ahadan shay'a. Man takaffala li alla yas'ala ahadan shay'a. Who is it who will guarantee me never to ask any human being for anything? Who will guarantee me never to ask anybody for anything? The Prophet asked this question. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He says, if he does so, atakaffala lahu bil jannah. I will guarantee him al jannah. Who is it who, if you guarantee me, you will never ask anybody for anything, I will guarantee you al jannah. Faqala Thawban, ana. Thawban said, I, O Messenger of Allah. I, O Messenger of Allah. Fakana la yas'alu ahadan shay'a. So it became that Thawban, despite his not having anything at all, he would never ask anybody for anything. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man takaffala li an yas'al la yas'ala ahadan shay'a. Who is it who will guarantee me never to ask anybody anything? Wa atakaffala lahu bil jannah. Atakaffala lahu bil jannah. I will guarantee such a person, al-Jannah. And Thawbat answered and agreed never to ask anybody anything so that he gains the guarantee of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam for al-Jannah. That hadith occurs in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, the hadith of Thawban. So Thawban was so close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he did not have anything. So he was not asking anybody for anything. He was only able to suffice with whatever he had. So he died not having anything, because he had assured and guaranteed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam never to ask anybody for anything, so that he can be guaranteed al-Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. So this was Thawban radiallahu anhu. Thawban said, Ma min rajulayn يتصارمان فوق ثلاثة أيام. ما من رجلين يتصارمان فوق ثلاثة أيام فيهلك أحدهما فمات وهما على ذلك من المصارمة إلا هلكا جميعا. وما من جار يظلم جاره ويقهره حتى يحمله ذلك على أن يخرج من منزله إلا هلك. Thawban رضي الله عنه was the one who made this statement. We would not forget that one of the differences between this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and Kitab al-Adab in Sahih al-Bukhari is that Al-Adab al-Mufrad has reports from the companions and the tabi'un. But Kitab al-Adab in Sahih al-Bukhari only has reports from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Al-Adab al-Mufrad has mawkufat and maqtu'at. But Kitab al-Adab in Sahih al-Bukhari only has what? Marfu'at, statements and actions directly from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, it also has issues of manners that were reported from the companions. This is one of them. Ulama refer to those as mawkufat, narrations that have stopped with the companions, that we are not raised up onto the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But the fact of this report is, for about every statement, for about every part of this hadith, there is a statement from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that affirms it. So it means that this is not from just what Thauban feels. It is from the lessons that he had acquired from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he spoke. He said, radiyallahu anhu, ma min rajulayni yatasaraman, ma min rajulayni yatasaraman. No two persons, no two men yatasaraman. Al-musarama is al-muqata'a. Musarama is what? Muqata'a and mufaraqa. Muqata'a is to cut off relations. Muqata'a is to cut off relations. Mufaraqa is to distance yourself from somebody, to disconnect yourself from somebody. This is the meaning of yatasaraman. That is, no two men, no two individuals. يتصارمان فوق ثلاثة أيام. No two individuals will disconnect themselves فوق ثلاثة أيام for more than 3 days. فيهلك أحد. And then one of them passes away. You know, halak. Halak could refer to death, even though its basic ruling is to be ruined. When a person is ruined, R-U-I-N. When a person is ruined, he has gone into halak. But you know, even in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, in Imru'un halaka, the Quran mentions halak and refers to death. So death could mean halak, and halak could be employed to refer to death. In this case, halak here refers to death. That's why it says, فَيَهَلِكُ أَحَدُهُمَا. If two persons, when two persons have disconnected themselves from one another, they have cut off relations from one another. This one cuts from this, this one cuts from this. I have nothing to do with this. And I have nothing to do with this. فَيَهَلِكُ أَحَدُهُمَا. And then one of them dies. فَمَاتَ, that is, one of them passes away and dies. وَهُمَا عَلَى ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْمُصَارَمَةِ. While the two of them are still upon a disconnected relationship, they are still cut off in their relationship. May Allah protect us. إِلَّا هَلَكَ جَمِيعًا. The two of them will be completely ruined. So what does this second halak mean? The first halak, two people cut off relations from themselves. If one of them dies while the relation is still severed, what it means is that they will be meeting Allah on the day of Qiyamah upon a severed relation. The ulama say this second halak, illa halaka jami'a, is that the two of them, it means when they meet Allah, they will not be coming into Al-Jannah directly. They will be missing Al-Jannah. Illa halaka. The ulama say halaka istawjaba an-nar. The two of them will be deserving to be placed in the fire. One Muslim disconnects from another Muslim. One of them dies. They are upon an enmity. And one of them dies while they have not settled, they have not connected themselves, they have not returned to normal relations. When they die, illa halaka jamia, the two of them have both become ruined. The ulama say istawjabana, the two of them would be deserving to be placed in the fire. But the question we could ask, istawjabana, to refer to halak, where have we seen that? That occurs in the statement of the Prophet Muhammad himself, alayhi salatu wassalam. And that hadith occurs in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. If we go back to hadith number 407, the Prophet was also talking about disconnecting relations with your friend, your brother, your sister, your neighbor. Two Muslims disconnecting themselves and cutting off relations. These days it is worse, because with the slightest of a disagreement between two people, relationships are cut off. The scholars also explained regarding this. I think I should say this from the very beginning. There are different types of cutting off relationship with people. There is cut off relationship based on personal disagreement and interests. Personal disagreement. Yourself and a brother, two brothers disagree over personal matters. I like this thing to be like this. No, I don't want it to be. I want it to be like this. They disagree over this. Or issues of their own desire. I want it like this. You don't want it like this. You don't want, and then they disconnect from themselves. This is what this hadith is referring to. When people disconnect with themselves for personal worldly reasons. Personal worldly reasons. But when the disconnection has to do with the deen, one of them is a violator of the limits of the deen. And as a result of that, by way of punishing him, the other one disconnects from him. In fact, this one may be obligatory in some situations. It may be compulsory for you to disconnect from some people in some circumstances, depending on the situation. In some cases, it may only be encouraged. And in some cases, it may only be permissible. If the reason for the disconnection is the deen. For example, this individual that is now known to go about and say evil about the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, people refer to him as a loved person, but he's actually a baghid, not a habib. How can you be a habib of Allah and then you mention evil regarding the companions of the Prophet that Allah is pleased with, that Allah loves? So you are rather an adu, not a habib. This kind of an individual, it will become unlawful for any Muslim who knows the Sunnah to have anything to do with him. He's a person who now should be abandoned in the community of the Muslims because his zandaka is common, clear, and well known. Zandaka is that somebody is an enemy of the deen, but he wears the garb of the deen. When someone becomes an enemy of the religion, but he shows himself, he presents himself in the garb of Islam. The ulama usually refer to those kinds of persons as zanadik. So for him, he is a zindik. His zandaka is clear. His deen is zindik, is so clear. These kinds of individuals, it is compulsory for such individuals to be disconnected from by the rest of the Muslim community. Disconnect from him. Don't talk to him. Don't relate with him. Don't have anything to do with him. These are part of the punishments that are supposed to be meted to these kinds of individuals. So cutting off from this kind of a person now, if he comes to start telling us that it is not lawful for us to leave him, to disconnect with him for 3 days, we say, no, it is even compulsory upon us to disconnect from you. And the evidence that people who are upon sin or who violate the limits of the Sharia may be abandoned for as long as abandoning them is safe for the rest of the Muslim community is the hadith of Ka'b ibn Malik. Remember that in the story of Ka'b ibn Malik, they were ordered to be distanced from. Even their wives had to leave them and move away from them. And that happened for a period of 15 days. That is more than 3 days. So that is the evidence that upon a sin that will be corrected when the person, the individual is distanced from, it is necessary that we distance ourselves from the people of sin. In many places in the Quran, Allah warned us against sitting down with the people who joke with the signs of Allah. It says, "Fala taqrib ma'ahum ba'da dhikra." Even if you forget, when you remember, don't continue to sit down with them. Ma'al qawmil fasiqin, with these people who are sinful people. So the same thing applies to the people of innovations. When their innovation becomes clear and well known, determined and explained by the ulama, we have a duty to keep distance from them. And the people of deviations, we have a duty to keep distance from them. So these are not the people in reference in this hadith. The disconnection that this hadith is referring to are issues of disconnection between perhaps a husband and a wife. They have a disagreement over how a matter should be handled. don't disconnect from your wife for more than 3 days, or a wife and a co-wife. Our husband should do this. No, our husband should do that. No, it should be like this. And then you see co-wives keeping their heads away in the opposite directions from one another. These kinds of disconnections are disconnections that are not lawful at all. So the ulama say, if this happens, the Prophet says, Thawbanun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَيَحْلِكُ أَحَدُهُ. If this happens and one of them dies, فَمَاتَ, and then the two of them died, وَهُمَا عَلَى ذَلِكَ, while being upon al-musarama, this kind of disconnection and avoiding one another, halaka illa halaka jamia. There is no other than that the two of them will be destroyed. And the ulama say that the two of them will be destroyed refers to the fact that they will be istawjabanar. They will be deserving the fire. So we say, from where have we gotten it? This is a statement from the companion. The first thing we say as students trying to learn hadith is that istawjabanar, this companion will not say this kind of a thing from his own desires. This is mimma la yuqalu bir-ra'i. This is from the issues that a companion will not say from personal opinion, that if a person dies, he is entitled for the fire. A companion will not say that from personal opinion. So we say that most probably he had heard that from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And one strong evidence that Thawban had actually taken this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam occurs in hadith number 407, where the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, while referring to two Muslims in dispute who disconnect from themselves, he says, wa in huma mata ala siramihima. In huma mata ala siramihima. If the two of them die when they are still disconnected from themselves, lam yadkhula al-jannata jami'a, the two of them will not enter al-jannah. So this is the reason why in this report, when it says halaka jami'a, it means la yadkhula, nam, the two of them, la yadkhulan al-jannah, the two of them will not come into the paradise. He says, lam yadkhula. He says, lam yadkhula al-jannata jami'a. The two of them will not come into the paradise together. It may mean that maybe one of them will come, the other one will not come. Maybe the continuous disaffection would have been caused by one of them who became insistent and was responsible for the cutoff. He became insistent and was responsible for the cutoff. Don't forget, cutoff, when it has to do with personal things, personal desires, things of individual differences amongst the two, not cutoff that are based on the deen. You cut off from the person not to have your deen infected by the evil from him, because he's a sinful person or she's a very sinful person. She's a person who violates the limits of the religion, or he's a person who violates the limits of the religion. Is a person who is upon innovations and straight thoughts. Out of that, you distance yourself to protect your deen. This may be, as we had explained, from the issues of obligation. But when it has to do with personal disagreements amongst Muslims, it must not exceed 3 days. When it exceeds 3 days and they pass away, each or either of them passes away while they are still upon that disagreement, halaka jami'a, the entirety of them will come into the difficulty, into ruin. They will be coming into ruin. They will be ruining themselves. And ruining themselves means that they will be deserving of the fire. May Allah protect all of us. The second thing Thawban said, this issue of disconnecting from the Muslim will be discussed in bigger details in this book. There are about 4 to 5 chapters regarding disconnection. We remember that our mother, radiallahu anha, Aisha, radiallahu anha, she has a statement which showed that sometimes she also used to disconnect herself from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he says, "Lastu uhajiru illa smak," I did not used to disconnect myself except from mentioning your name. So disconnection could even be that it is a disconnection of never ever mentioning that person's name. even though that person is perhaps your husband. Because she said, radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her that, I know when you are angry with me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Aisha, I know when you are angry with me. So how do you know? So when you are angry with me, you say, wa Rabbi Ibrahim. But when you are pleased with me, you say, wa Rabbi Muhammad. So instead of saying Muhammad, she will say Ibrahim when she is angry with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She didn't even want to say Muhammad. But this is for me, wallahi, from the best of dealings, radiallahu anhum, alayhi salatu wasalam. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a nonchalant husband who does not care, how will he know the difference between the period of Rabbi Ibrahim and Rabbi Muhammad? How will he know? It means he was a caring person, radiallahu alayhi salatu wasalam. And she herself was a loving wife. Yes, that was why out of love she could say, oh, I just don't want to mention your name. Your name was Muhammad. Your name is Muhammad. So instead of saying, wa Rabbi Muhammad, she would say, wa Rabbi Ibrahim. That shows how intelligent she was. Aisha, radiallahu anha, was very brilliant, a very intelligent, loving wife of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. So distancing yourself from someone could be as little as not even mentioning the name of that person. But in all of this, just for the brief time of it, that's all. It should end there. It should not exceed 3 days when the matter has to do with personal issues. But don't forget, if it is from the matters of the deen, it may be more than 3 days. May Allah protect us all. So we are saying that bismillah, will come back to these issues of disconnecting from people and relating with the people and avoiding the people of sins and all of these. We'll come back to them in greater details in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad bismillah. But here, the second issue, which is the point of reference why we are in this chapter, Babu man aza jarahu hatta yakhruja. The chapter regarding the one who causes harm to his neighbor so much that the neighbor packed out of the house. That is the second part of the statement of Thawban al-Nabi, radiyallahu anhu. So Thawban said, radiyallahu anhu, وَمَا مِنْ جَارٍ يَظْلِمُ جَارَهُ وَيَقْهَرُ مَا مِنْ جَارٍ يَظْلِمُ جَارَهُ وَيَقْهَرُهُ. There is no neighbor, يَظْلِمُ جَارَهُ, who will be unjust and unfair to his neighbor, who will be directing evil to his neighbor, who will be hurting his neighbor, وَيَقْهَرُهُ, and who will be aggressing against him, oppressing his neighbor. People know how to oppress their neighbors. If you place your generating set by his window, and the fumes of your generating set comes into his own room, you are oppressing your neighbor. If you turn the loudness of your radio set or television set to disturb him, and you know that it will be a means of disturbance, you are oppressing your neighbor. When you park your cars to block his own cars deliberately, and you say, like they say in Lagos, Mashiwere Fundoni, when you do that, antatakaharu, you are oppressing your neighbor. Don't oppress your neighbor. Don't direct evil or hurt to your neighbor. Don't do it. Don't hurt your neighbor. Don't harm your neighbor. La tazlimuhu. Don't be unfair to him. Wala takaharu. Likewise, don't also be a person who will be oppressive to this. Don't oppress your neighbor. Thawban said, radiallahu anhu, ma min jarin yazlimu jarahu wa yakharuhu. There is no neighbor who treats his neighbor unjustly, wa yakharuhu, and oppresses his neighbor. Hatta, he continues to do that, yahmilahu zalika ala an yakhruja min manzili. That pushes that neighbor, that agitates that neighbor, ila ala an yakhruja min manzili. That pushes that neighbor, ala an yakhruja min manzili, to pack out of that area because of the hurt and the harm and the oppression that you oppress this neighbor. Illa halaka. That neighbor will be ruined. That neighbor will be ruined. Ulama say, illa istawjaban nar. Except that that neighbor becomes a person who is deserving of the fire. May Allah protect us from this evil. Don't hurt your neighbor. Don't cause harm to your neighbor. Don't be the reason why your neighbor thinks and actually packs out of the house. Don't be this kind of a neighbor to the rest of neighborhood. It can be out of your mouth how you abuse the neighbor. It can be out of the rest of your actions regarding the neighbor. Some of the people, like I said, they want to put their nose into the house of their neighbor. They want to see what he has eaten. What did he eat? What did he? How did he sleep? How did he wake up? How they become so nosy, putting their noses into every single private affair of their neighbor. This may be inconvenient. And unfortunately, some of the people think that they are being good neighbors when they are like this. When they become nosy regarding their neighbors, bringing their noses into every affair of the neighbor. They think that that is the best way to be a good neighbor to the neighbor. No, many of the people recognize their privacy and they want to keep their privacy. You must be emotionally intelligent to know when you are hurting your neighbor. It is from not being emotionally intelligent enough not to know when you are hurting an individual and you are hurting the individual. May Allah protect us from this evil. Thawbanun Nabi, Thawban, the freed slave of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma min rajulaini yatasaramani fawqa thalathati ayyam. No two individuals disconnect themselves for more than 3 days. Fayahliku ahaduhuma. And then one of them passes away, famata. And it happens that the two of them now die at their different times. Wahuma ala zalika min al-musarama. While they are still disconnected from themselves, they are still upon disconnection and cut-off relations. Illa halaka jami'a. Except the two of them will be deserving of the fire. وَمَا مِنْ جَارٍ يَظْلِمُ جَارَهُ وَيَقْهَرُهُ. There is no neighbor also who will be treating his neighbor unjustly and oppressing him. حَتَّى يَحْمِلَهُ ذَلِكَ لَا أَنْ يَخُرُجَ مِنْ مَنْزِلِ. So much oppression and so much wrongdoing was suffered by that neighbor until يَحْمِلَهُ ذَلِكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَخُرُجَ مِنْ مَنْزِلِ. That pushed him. That made him move away, leave the entire residence because of your own evil. Illa halaka. Except that the one who does that is Tawjabana. He is making the fire lawful for himself. He is making himself deserving to be placed in the fire. This is hadith number 127, and I hope that it is clear. May Allah forgive us and protect us from this evil. We'll quickly, bi'idhnillah, read the next hadith. That will be our last hadith regarding the jar. And we had read that hadith at the beginning when we spoke about, while talking about the jar also, while talking about the jar, the neighbor, under the chapter, Babun Yabda'u Bil Jar. That was hadith number 105. But here we come to it again under hadith 128, under the chapter, Babu Jaril Yahudi. Babu Jaril Yahudi, the chapter regarding the Muslim who is a neighbor to a Jew. The Muslim is a neighbor to a Jew. How does he handle the situation? Don't ask about a Christian. Don't say, oh, they did not mention Christian. They did not mention the Mushrikun. They may not have mentioned the Jew. They may not have mentioned the Christian. And they may not have mentioned the mushrik. There's a fiqh here by Imam al-Bukhari. Because when in the Quran, Allah mentioned those who are in the worst of enmity to the Muslims, the first persons that he mentioned are the Jews. So don't be worried. Don't be too surprised. Don't be surprised. Don't be too surprised with what you see in Palestine. That the Jews behave this way to the Muslims. Don't be surprised. They are the worst enemies of the Muslims. Allah says, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The first persons Allah mentioned were Al-Yahud وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. So the Jews and the polytheists are worst in their approach to the Muslim. The worst enemies the Muslim could have are the Jews. Allah said it in the Quran. And he mentioned it with tawkidat, emphasis. لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Then he says, وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. He mentioned the reason. But the point we want to employ here is that if you are talking about you being a neighbor to a Jew, then the Christian is a lesser evil. So he went to pick it from the worst. Bukhari picked the worst. So if you are a neighbor to a Jew, then you can also be a neighbor to a Christian. So don't say, oh, they've not mentioned a Christian. That they have mentioned a Jew, they have already mentioned someone who is worse than a Christian in his dealings with you. May Allah protect us from their evils, both the Jews and the Christians. They are both enemies of the Muslims. So in this hadith, Al-Imam al-Bukhari has placed it on the hadith 128. If you have a Jewish neighbor, how do you handle that neighbor? So he called it Babu Jari Yahudi. He says, حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو نُعَيْمٍ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا بَشِيرِ بْنُ سُلَيْمَانِ الْمُجَاهِدِ. Mujahid is Al-Imam Mujahid ibn Jabr al-Makki, the student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. Mujahid ibn Jabr al-Makki, he learns the Quran from Abdullah ibn Abbas. He also took the tafsir from Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, three times I went through the Quran and I would stop at every verse. I'll be asking Ibn Abbas, what does it mean? What's the sabab of nuzul? What are the rulings regarding? Three times. Mujahid. That's why most of the words, explanations of tafsir from Mujahid were from who? Abdullah ibn Abbas. Radiallahu anhu. But from amongst the teachers of Mujahid, amongst the companions, was who? Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhuma. And this report is from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Mujahid said, كنت عند Abdullah ibn Amr. I was with Abdullah ibn Amr, that is ibn al-As, radiallahu anhuma, the son of Amr ibn al-As. He says, وَغُلَامُهُ يَسْلُخُ شَاتًا. When I was with him, Gulamuhu, he had a boy with him, or a servant with him. Yasluhu shat. He was skinning a shat, a goat. Skinning a goat, how do you skin a goat? You know when you remove the skin, not when you scrape the skin. When you remove the skin from the body. That is, he slaughtered a goat, and then he were removing the skin so that they could cut off the meat. They could cut the meat into parts. They could butcher the meat, as they say. فَقَالَ يَا غُلَامُ. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As then said, oh, young boy, إِذَا فَرَغْتَ, when you finish from السِّلْخُ وَالْقَطْرُ, when you finish skinning it, removing the hairs, when you finish removing the skin, and you finish cutting it, إِذَا فَرَغْتَ, فَابْدَأْ بِجَارِنَا الْيَهُودِ. Start with our neighbor who is a Jew. Start with our neighbor who is a Jew. So we are talking about how does a Muslim relate with a Jewish neighbor. So the same thing, how does a Muslim relate with a Christian neighbor? How do you relate with a Christian neighbor? We are discussing it here. How do we relate with a Jewish neighbor? We are discussing it. The reason why the Jewish neighbor is mentioned is that they are the worst. So if you know how to deal with the worst, you should know how to deal with the one who is of a lesser evil. That's why the Christians have not been mentioned, as we said earlier. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As said, فَابْدَأْ بِجَارِنَا, فَابْدَأْ بِجَارِنَا الْيَهُودِ. Start with our neighbor who is a Jew. They have a neighbor, he had a neighbor at that time who was a Jew. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ. Just like many of us will do, when we find a learned person doing something we find strange, many times people are not patient to listen to explanations. So someone said, Al-Yahudi, you aflahaka Allah, Yahudi, you want to do that to a Jew? You want to start with a Jew? Aflahaka Allah. But the difference between those people and many of the young people today is that, look at this expression, aflahaka Allah. May Allah rectify you. He is referring to a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he says, you want to start with a Jew? Aflahaka Allah. It's like, you want to fall into error. May Allah rectify you. The Quran has told us a lot about the enmity of the Jews to them. So what could come to the mind of a less knowledgeable person compared to the likes of Abdullah ibn Amr bin As was that it is not from goodness to be good to the Jewish neighbor. But don't forget that these were the people to whom the Quran was revealed. They understand the Quran, they understand the Sunnah. Have we forgotten that in the Quran, in Al-Mumtahina or Al-Mumtahina, Surah Al-Mumtahina, Allah told us that لَا يَنْحَاكُمُ اللَّهُ أَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Have we forgotten that Allah told us that لَا يَنْحَاكُمُ اللَّهُ أَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. Allah has not prohibited you regarding those people who have not fought you regarding your religion. وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ. They have not also sent you away from your homes. They are not treating you badly because you're a Muslim. So if you have a Jewish neighbor or a Christian neighbor who is not treating you badly because of Islam, and tabarruhum wa taqsitulay, be nice to them, be fair to them. So if you have a neighbor who is not a Jewish neighbor or a Christian neighbor who is not a person of fitna to you because of Islam, you can have personal differences. But let it not be that the reason why he hates you is because you're a Muslim or because you practice Islam. If it is not because of this, Allah has not prevented you from being nice and kind to your neighbors, even though they may be Christians or Jews. I have grown up in a community of Christians. I was born in a community of Christians in the far south. That was where I was born, and I grew up with them. We had neighbors who took us like younger brothers and younger sisters. Till today, they saw us like them. We saw ourselves like them. Whenever we were slaughtering during the times of Eid or whenever something in the community happens, our dealings with them were very, very cordial. We saw their mothers like our own mothers. They were Christians and they did not have any hatred towards us because of Islam and being Muslims. So these things can be there. I'm mentioning these examples to let us understand that it is possible to have neighbors who have good dealings with you, despite the fact that they may be Christians or despite the fact that they may be Jews. These kinds of people, Allah has not prohibited us. Allah has not prohibited us from being nice to them and being fair to them. Allah likes those who are fair. Innama ينهاكم الله عن الذين قاتلوكم في الدين وأخرجوكم من دياركم وظاهروا على إخراجكم أن تولوهم ومن يتولهم منكم فأولئك هم الظالمون. So those who show enmity to you, they show hatred and aggression against you because of Islam, these are the people that we have a way of dealing with. We are careful with them. Yes, we will not direct hurt to them when they are not directing hurt to us. But when we know a non-Muslim to be this one is directing hurt to me because I am a Muslim, because I show my Islam and I don't hide my Islam. If the person is not like that at all, then our religion encourages us to be nice to them. It is from this angle we will understand the action of the companion. When he was told that, are you going to give gifts of your sheep to that Jewish neighbor? He said, radiyallahu anhu, inni sami'tu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yusi bil jar. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraging us to take care of our neighbor, meaning that the neighbor may be a Jew, the neighbor may be a Christian, the neighbor may be a non-Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to take care of them. Hatta khashina aw ru'ina. Hatta khashina. Until we feared aw ru'ina, we were having an opinion. Annahu sayuwarrithuhu. That our neighbors, they be giving a part of our inheritance. We thought that khashina, we feared that. Our ruina, we were having an opinion, and now سيورثه, that he will soon be given a share from our inheritance. The point of reference is that if you have a Jew or a Christian as a neighbor, be nice to them as long as they have not shown you an enmity because of your religion. When the enmity is regarding religion, then we act as appropriate. But when they have not shown us any kind of enmity because of our religion, then we should be nice to them. In fact, being nice to them may be a reason, a way to entice them into Islam. May Allah make things easy for us and make us better Muslims. This is the last hadith regarding the issues on our neighbors. Our next readings will be two hadith about being nice generally, and the rest of the report will be about being nice to the yatim, the orphan. This will be the next lines of discourse, bismillah. I think we can stop here so that we can accommodate one or two questions from Abu Yusuf today before we call it a day, inshallah. Abu Yusuf. Amin wa antum fa jazakumullahu khair. Amin wa iyyakum.
For the two person who disconnect, the question says, for the two person who disconnect from each other, what can the other person who is still alive do as a form of repentance so as to be saved from Allah's punishment?
The person should repent from that. You remember we mentioned in this Asaf of Thoban and in that hadith that when one of them died, he died while they are still upon, the two of them are still upon enmity. You that you are alive, repent from that evil deed. Allah has just given you opportunity to be able to repent. Repent from that evil deed and make sure you do a lot of other good deeds. Repent from it and Allah forgives all sins except shirk. Yes, if a person dies, the one who has died may also be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More so if you ask Allah to forgive him. So from the things you can do is that you seek for repentance with Allah and ask Allah to forgive that person who had died already. So for you, be assured too that if you ask for repentance sincerely, Allah will forgive you and turn towards you, direct his, grant you his repentance. So this is what you should do. Repent away from that and ask Allah to forgive your friend that you had cut off from, who has now passed away. May Allah protect us all.
This one says, does the hadith on oppression of neighbors apply to oppressive landlords on their tenants?
Yes, if they are neighbors. If the landlord is oppressive, it is not lawful for a landlord to be oppressive. We know some landlords can really be oppressive. They bring new conditions by the day, and they bring new restrictions every day. They restrict their tenants so much that the tenants begin to find difficulty in living there so much that they say, okay, I can move out of this house. It falls under this hadith. They direct wrongdoing to the neighbors so to the tenants so much that the tenants now begins to think that, let me leave this house. It is from the general meaning of this hadith. If a person does so, he will be ruined. That kind of a landlord is exposing himself to ruin in this world and in the hereafter. May Allah protect us all.
This one says, what is the position of co-wives whose only communication is the testing but nothing else? They don't wish evil against each other.
They should improve upon that relationship. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam told us, says, "La tabaghadu." Don't nurse injury against yourself. Bugd, hatred. Don't hate yourself. Wala tahasad. Don't envy yourself. Wala tadabaru. Don't turn your backs against yourself. So they are just saying taslim. That's all. But they cannot relate as two people. Is that how they relate? It may be difficult to relate exactly as you relate to your friend, but keep a normal, standard relationship of goodness with every person. So don't cut off the person. Yes, if they say taslims, and the taslims is not based on, there is no anger, there is no injury or hurt that is being lost inside. That is the taslim that is good. Not taslim of, we are just saying taslim, but inside the mind, there is no salama. They are saying taslim, but it's no salama and aman. You will say to someone, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. As-salamu alaykum. Go. But inside your mind, you don't wish that person salama. So this is not appropriate. So even if it is just about taslim, be sure that there is no boogt, there is no injury, there is no hurt. You are not nothing hurt inside your mind against that same person to whom you say taslim. Once this is there, then your taslim is a good one. Ameen wa antum fa jazakallahu khairan.
Can we disconnect from a family and friend that like evil scholars and defenders? Another one says, can we disconnect from what evil scholars who say evil about companions and love to listen to his lectures against the husband's advice?
Yes, people we know to support evil, just like the people of evil themselves. People we know that they support evil. We should try to engage them sometimes, if engaging them will be beneficial. That's usually the starting point. Engage them and enlighten them. It is when we find recalcitrant that this person is just recalcitrant. Of course, after a lot of patient explanations, patient conversation, exposing the person to the evil of those kinds of persons that he or she is supporting. When it becomes clear that this person just wants to follow his or her own desires, you can abandon the person. You can set the person aside so that he does not corrupt you with his own or her own evil. So it is lawful. It is lawful to disconnect from those who propagate evil that are well known by all and sundry in the community. See that this is evil. You can disconnect from such persons. Bismillah.
This one says, presently we see sisters and with the rebab and fancy shoes. Is it right?
It's not lawful for a woman to wear a shoe and it's not covered by the jilbab. The jilbab should cover everything that a woman wears, up to the feet. The feet of the woman is necessarily covered. So now if she's now not covering that and she's wearing a shoe that when she wears it, the entire attention is drawn towards the shoe, this is not appropriate. Some of the people wear high heel shoes. These are things that are clear in normal classes that we do every day. Even those who wear it, they themselves know that what they are wearing is not lawful. So they should avoid all these kinds of things. If you wear a black jilbab, prefer to wear a black shoe. And the shoe should not be a shoe that will attract attention to itself. And then the people begin to glance, try to find a glance of her because the shoe was attractive. All of these would be negating the fundamental aim of hijab. Don't say you want to be fine in jilbab. Even inside our jilbab, it does not say we should not be fine. No, jilbab wants to cover that fine. Please take note of this. The job of the jilbab is to cover your fine. The jilbab is not to show fine. That's why sometimes even the designs that the sisters who are tailors are doing to their jilbab, they should fear Allah. They want to be making money at the expense of the hereafter of the people they call their friends. You want to sew a jilbab to your friend that will be attractive. The jilbab is something that should cover attractive. So why should it be attractive? You now start thinking about styling it, all in the name of looking, you know, in the way you know you want to say you want to look. If you want to look attractive with jilbab, something is wrong somewhere. You have probably not understood the meaning of a jilbab. The jilbab should cover everything. Unfortunately, women who want to look fine in jilbab, they may not be looking fine inside their houses. Many women don't do this. They want to look fine outside when they are people, but inside their homes, the hygiene is poor. So make poor good hygiene at home. Make good hygiene at home. Make dress neatly at home, at least in the presence of your husband and the rest of the family, every person according to what is lawful for them to see from you. But when you now have to wear jilbab outside the home, you're wearing jilbab in the places where you should really be wearing jilbab, don't think that you want to look fine. If you want to wear jilbab and still look fine, something is wrong with your understanding of what the jilbab should be. The same thing applies to the shoes. You don't want to impress anybody. Don't think nobody should be wearing a jilbab and thinking that they should not think that we too, because we are wearing jilbab. Dama, something is wrong with you. There is no much gap between yourself and that person you want to show. Oh, dama. Avoid all these kinds of thinking for the sake of Allah. May Allah protect us all. I think Abba Yusuf, we can stop here today, inshallah. We'll continue the rest of our discussion about the offense we have in
Allah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.